it again. If ain't nobody said it next year, slap them and say rest. Don't touch it, we don't touch it, we slap. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find, and ye shall find, and ye shall find unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come unto me. See, I like a church like this. I wouldn't pastor nobody else. See, when you got a real, real church, they get excited when you read the word. It ain't got to work till you put the gravy on the mashed potatoes. Just you can tell when you about to have church if people get excited just when you read the scripture. If they don't get excited when you read the scripture, you might as well sit on down because you about to be chopping wood all sermon. But somebody got excited because they know that when you come unto him, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you what? I will give you what? I will give you what? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find, and ye shall find, and ye shall find unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is. Now to him who can keep you from falling, present you. I really could right there, amen. But I would have to give you all a refund on your salary, so I ain't going to do you like that. I want to talk this Sunday morning about the rich rewards of rest. The rich rewards of rest. The rich rewards of rest. In chapter 11 of the Gospel according to Matthew, is in chapter 11, in Matthew, that we find, Sister Dunbar, Jesus beginning his earthly ministry. You know, the earthly ministry of Jesus was very short. The earthly ministry, the practical ministry that we know about through the Gospels was only 3 years. Again, he was in ministry from the day he was born. But the actual activism and manifestation of his ministry only lasted, theologians argue, only 3 short years. And we find him beginning that earthly ministry here in Matthew chapter 11. We know it's very early on in his earthly ministry because in Matthew chapter 10, he had just called his 12 disciples. We also know it's beginning of his earthly ministry because in the beginning of chapter 11, John the Baptist is still alive. John the Baptist is still alive, and John is still in jail. So we know it has to be in the very beginning of his earthly ministry because John still has his own disciples. After that, everyone becomes a disciple of Jesus Christ. So we know it. You better teach Bible up in here, leave it. We know it's in the very beginning of his earthly ministry, Marcus, because John sends a report to Jesus from his friends asking him, are you the one that we had been searching for? His disciples go and see John to put some money on John's books while he's in jail. See, too bougie. See, too bougie. They don't understand putting money on books. See, too bougie. Money on the book? What that mean? Money on books. I know you pay money to buy, but what does putting money on the book? Too bougie, too bougie. Tell your neighbor. They bought him some ramen noodles while he was in jail. They went to put money on John's books at Alvin S. Glenn, and they say, we think the Messiah has come. And John sends the disciples back there, ask him a query, raise a question. Are you the one? Or shall we look for another? Tell your neighbor, look no further, look no further, look no further, look no further. Are you the one? Or should we look for another? And then Jesus begins healing people, giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, and voice to them that are mute. And he begins saving, and then he begins preaching forgiveness of sin and repentance in his name. He begins preaching the same sermon that John had been preaching, the forgiveness of sin and repentance. Forgiveness of sin. And you know, we don't like to talk about sin no more because it don't sell. talking about sin and telling people they are a sinner and telling people that they can't do everything they want to do doesn't fill up arenas. We like to tell people that they can name and they claim and do whatever they want to and God's going to be all right with it. But he does not say that. He says you've got to repent of your sins, not of your mistakes. It ain't a mistake, it's a sin. And he begins preaching repentance in his name, going from town to town, from neighborhood to neighborhood, from county to county, preaching repentance. And then Jesus gets a little upset with people because they won't repent. They won't believe. They've seen all the things that he's done, but they're kind of like John. Are you the one? Or should we look for another? And he really castigates them and rebukes them because I brought to you the same word that John brought to you to pave the way for my entrance. But you want me to do signs. You want me to turn fish into buffets. You want me to heal you, but you won't admit that you are a sinner. And see, that's the problem I have with a lot of people who do sin. Just admit you are a sinner. Ain't no big sin, ain't no little sins. We all have come short of the glory of God. And stop castigating people to hell because they do something you don't like. Because there's something you like to do that we don't like to do. He lets them know that he has the power of God. And even before Andrew raises the query to show us the Father, he says that all power comes from my Father. Not yet who art in heaven. He hadn't taught us that yet. But that all of my power comes from my Father. And you can have all that power if you just repent and take it to God in prayer. It's right here in chapter 11 that the songwriter lifts up those lyrics. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs he will bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. I like this part. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. He says, all what peace we often forfeit. All what peace we give away. All what peace and restless nights we could have had because we do not take everything to God in prayer. If you just give it to God, you ain't got to worry about it no more. If you just give it to God, you don't have to take that anxiety medicine anymore. If you just give it to God, you can sleep on a pillow of peace, on cushions of confidence, on sheets of serenity. If you give it to God, he will step out on your storm and say, peace, be still. Now, I got to come back if you invite me back to preach because in chapter 10, he also says, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. I got to deal with that great juxtaposition in a couple of weeks because he does come and bring you peace, but he also says, I come to bring you a sword. He says, God says, I also come to cut some stuff out of you so you can have. I ain't going to hit it, Marcus. Some things got to be cut out of you and some people got to be cut from you. Oh, help me, somebody. So that you can have peace. And then he says, take my yoke upon me. Take my yoke upon me. This word yoke, when we think of yoke, we're thinking of an egg. But that's not what a yoke. A yoke is a balance beam that ties two oxen together. And the oxen work in cooperation. Somebody say cooperation. That's not me and far. That's two ox, two beasts of burden, and the yoke is tied to them on their necks, not to be heavy, not to be a yoke like an egg that's unbreakable, that is sticky and binds, but it is to provide them cooperation because he understands that two are better than one. And so they work in tandem. They have to walk together step by step. They have to help each other out. They have to help each other carry their burdens because they are yoked. They are put together to help each other through cooperation. And that's what God is telling somebody right now. When you yoke up with me, if you just give me your burdens, we will walk together. We will work together hand in hand. And I will help you. love me, and we will walk this thing together. That's why you don't walk alone when you're with Jesus. When you're yoked up with Jesus, you walk with somebody, just like that footprints poem says, when you don't see but one set of footprints, that's me carrying you. When you're yoked up with the Lord. And then the Bible says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Somebody say pacification. There is cooperation in this text, but then there's pacification. He says, I am meek and I am lowly. See, Jesus never had to, you know, he ain't never had to fight nobody physically. He ain't never had to clap back on nobody. He ain't have to ever give them a word out the side of their mouth. He never rolled his eyes at nobody. He got you back by being meek, and lowly. Because one of the greatest things that you can do to get back at your enemies is let your enemies know they ain't bothering you and you ain't studied about them. See, all your enemies want you to react. All your enemies want you to take away their peace. All of your enemies want your peace gone. All your enemies want you to fight back. All your enemies want to get on your nerves. But the best way to get at your enemy is let your enemy, you ain't worried about, I ain't worried about you. I ain't even studying you. I am not even going to reply to your message. As a matter of fact, bark. Sometimes you got to even block your own blood. Sometimes you got to put it on mute if you want to have peace. If you want to have peace, that's why y'all need to take your read receipts off. You know, some of y'all got to read. People know you done read the message. Take that off. Because they know you done read it, but you ain't replied. Well, it might be good. I mean, yeah, it might be good. Yeah, I felt that too. Because they know you ain't replying. Read that. Nothing. My co-pastor. I got two now. Left them. Oh, I feel like Jesus. He came to be meek and lowly. Jesus didn't come, even though he was a king, he didn't come in royalty. He never asked anybody to do anything for him, to put his Bible on the table and put his water on the stand and to drive him around and take his clothes to the cleaners and get the big piece of chicken and have armor bears. And he ain't got, I don't understand, what you need an armor bear for? You ain't in no armor. I mean, no armor. I mean, what you need all these people for carrying you? But carry your own Bible. You can't carry a Bible 2 feet. He says, I am meek and I am lowly. He says, if you want rest, you got to learn how to create your own peace environment. And you know that saying, it won't be nothing if you don't start nothing. Don't start nothing so there won't be nothing. And see, that's why you don't want to start nothing. Jesus ain't come here to start nothing because he didn't want to have to be nothing. Just be peace. And sometimes you got to learn how to calm situations down because he's here to give us peace. Yes, he came with a sword so he can cut out some things in our life that will cause us tribulation, that will cause us pains, what will cause us anxiety so that you might have peace. And third and finally, after there's cooperation, after there's this pacification, then rest will grant you blessed rejuvenation. It says, and you shall find rest unto your souls. See, that's why Jesus wasn't worried about that ship that was being tossed to and fro. When he was sleeping in the hinder part of the ship and the disciples were upset and scared because they thought the ship was about to turn over and they were going to drown. The first thing that they forgot is that Jesus said, let us cross over to the other side. If they had just remembered, Chavis, that Jesus said, let us cross over to the other side, then they would realize they couldn't drown in the middle. See, whatever God has spoken into your life, it will come to pass. There are some shalls in your life that will come to pass. And whatever God has put a shall on, no water, no storm, no lightning, no thunder is going to prevent from happening. See, you got to understand, when God tells you something, no matter how disobedient you are, God will wait for you to get your own GPS and recalculate yourself so he can get out of you what he wants out of you. He says, I'm going to make sure that we cross over to the other side. And that's why he was able to get rest, because he wasn't worried, because he controls the wind and the waves. And you need to know sometimes that you control some things in your life, but at the end of the day, he controls everything in your life. And see, that's why you need rest. You need eternal, you need earthly rest so you can get ready for eternal rest. See, we're in the period now of rest. There are going to be people already, 7 days and 7 days, 7 days of beautiful rest, that number of God, perfection and completion. And he spoke that into my spirit this morning, just 7 days of rest. And we're going to find people now vacating. Text the gear while you vacate. But you deserve your rest. You deserve your rest. Yesterday I had the honor of being under the voice of Mayor de Blasio from New York. And he was great, great. You need to pay attention to him, to learn of him, read about him. And he was talking about that one of the things that he will want to get done besides 3K and 4K, mandatory 3K and 4K programs of the United States of America, but that it would be a federal law that every employee has to have 2 weeks paid vacation. Amen? And that's one of the things that he wants mandated federally, because he understands that we need rest. That a tired worker is not a good worker. That a stressed out worker gives you nothing. As a matter of fact, you all know people on your jobs who come in tired, who ain't had their Starbucks yet, who are cranky, who ruin the whole day for everybody. I'm sorry, you that one. And he understands that there is a time and a need for rest. And that's one of the things I want to press upon you. If there's anything, make sure you get you some rest. This sermon was about me. My wife would tell you, I almost take a nap every day. Every day. And when I take naps, I ain't talking about no cat nap. I ain't talking about 20 minutes. I'm talking about 2 hours, 6 to 8. You need rest when you got 3 jobs, 2 kids, and 1 wife. I need rest, and I invite all of you all to get you some good rest. Jesus says, for I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy burdened, all ye that have been worried, all ye that have been burdened, all ye who have been confused and conflicted, all you who feel like you cannot make it, if you just give me your burdens, I will make sure that you receive rest. But the only way that you get that is through cooperating with him. The only way you get that is through being peaceful with him. And after that, Jesus will give you that rejuvenation. He will pick you up. He will prop you up. He will give you back everything that the locusts have stolen. And sometimes, y'all, you got to be a little selfish without being egotistical. Sometimes you got to take care of yourself. Even though you're married, even though you got kids, even though you got jobs, sometimes you got to take some time to yourself. Remember now, we are following Jesus. We are trying to be like him. Remember, he went up on that mountain and he let his 3 disciples get some rest. I know he says, y'all fell asleep on me, but he knew they were going to, you know, Jesus knows everything you do before you do it right. Ain't no need to telling Jesus what you just did bad. He already knew it before you did it. He could have stopped if he wanted it to. And he allows them to get rest because he knew that the next few days they weren't going to get no sleep. but he was going to get some. Friday night, they thought he was dead, but he was just getting some rest. Friday evening, they put him to sleep in a medically induced coma up on a hill called Calvary. Saturday morning, he was still in that coma. The nurse came and checked on him. They didn't find no blood pressure. Sugar was still running high. Didn't find no heartbeat, but he was still getting some rest. I said I was just going to preach this, right? But I feel happy already because I understand the power of rest. Saturday night, he was still resting. As a matter of fact, not only was he resting Saturday night, but even he had time while he was sleepwalking. Go down to the gates of hell. Somebody read your Bible. He was sleepwalking and he went down to the gates of hell and preached to the captive. Anybody know early Sunday morning? He got up with all power in his hand because he had gotten enough rest. And the only way that you can get your power back sometimes is if you just get you some rest. You wonder why you work at night to work, and one reason why you can't do what you want to do, one way that's the reason why nothing's going on in your life, one reason why you can't progress in your life, because you ain't got enough rest and you ain't got enough sleep. You ain't got enough time because you ain't at peace. But if you get yourself a little rest early Sunday morning, you'll rise with all power in your hand. I wish I had a witness up here to understand that it's the war in rest. And so you can get your little rest down here. So one of these days, you can get some eternal rest. We don't talk about heaven like we used to have because everybody wants stuff now. But anybody know one of these days I'm going to get me some eternal rest. But God in his wise providence has seen fit to take out of this world the soul of our deceased brother. It therefore becomes our sad and solemn duty to commit his body back to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, and dust to dust. We therefore look for the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who at that time the sea will give up his head. And those of us who die in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall rise and be with the Lord forevermore. The tongue of Revelator said, right, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Henceforth said the Spirit, that they shall rest. I said they shall rest from their labors, and their works shall follow them. One of these days, I'm looking for rest. That's all I got, and that's all you need, is a little rest.